The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
Do you ever feel like the hurtier you go, the behinder you get? That may have been out of Alice in Wonderland, I don't know. People try to save time by going faster and faster because we just can't afford to slow down. We've all seen crazy drivers speeding, changing lanes quickly in heavy traffic. They have places to go and people to beat. And really, if we look in a mirror and ask, have you ever gotten a speeding ticket? Oh. People multitask while driving to gain time. Here's 26 seconds from the New York Times.
The craziest thing I've seen is the combination of several things. You know, not just a cell phone, but, you know, lighting a cigarette, eating a sandwich, and trying to send a text message while driving with your knee.
A lot of people are trying to put lipstick on and talk on the phone.
A guy leafing through like a legal brief.
Or a guy in the tunnel clipping his nails.
People watching television while they're driving is a big one. And
a lot of texting.
A lot of texting. It's huge.
Yep. People eat with one hand, check their cell phone with the other, and steer with their knees. And you see drivers. Some shave. They watch TV, they put on their makeup, they paint their nails, they check their emails, and they play games on their cell phone. Technology made three things happen. Our world got smaller, the world became more complex, and the world sped up. And most working people don't have enough margin in their life. Let me explain. A margin is a border between things, like margin on a page. And when we fill up every page to the max, our lives become overwhelming. Those who constantly work too much have lower quality of life, less happiness, and lower performance over time, studies show. You've heard of four-star Marine General James Mattis. He was a former U.S. Secretary of Defense. Here's his take on the issue. He says, solitude allows you to reflect while others are reacting. We need solitude to refocus on perspective decision-making, rather than just reacting to problems as they arise. Studies show that it damages our health, our relationships, and our soul. That's what Mattis said. The study that we're in is in Hebrews chapter 4. And it's interesting, in that chapter, rest is mentioned 15 times. Someone said, I used to be able to pull all-nighters. Now I can barely pull all-dayers. Another said, whoever says Sunday is a day of rest clearly don't have kids. Wife told her husband, yes, the doctor said you should get plenty of rest to get rid of your cold. That was 9 years ago. The book of Hebrews. I had no idea before I got into it. It is a tough book. So if it seems easy to understand, it took a lot of work to get it there. Hebrews is the New Testament commentary on the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews, we don't know exactly who it is, used 35 quotations or stories from the Old Testament, 34 illustrations, 19 summaries, and 13 times he mentions names and topics all from the Old Testament. He methodically, systematically applies every one of those Old Testament references to their fulfillment in Jesus. The author did this because his readers recognized the Old Testament authority. In Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, we found out Jesus is better than prophets, better than angels. Hebrews 3, Jesus is better than Moses, the hero of Israel. And in Hebrews 4, the author says Jesus provides a better rest. Rest in Hebrews 4 is in three parts, past, present, and future. In the past, God created rest. In the present, God wants us to rest with him. Now, this is a disclaimer. We're not supposed to rest during the sermon. If you see someone praying way too long during the sermon, please give them the elbow. In the future, God gives rest to the faithful eternally. In the past, God designed us for rest every 7 days. That's how we were manufactured. A lecturer was explaining stress management to the audience, and he raised a glass of water and asked, how heavy is this glass of water? Different answers were given according to the weight. The leader says the weight depends on how long you try to hold it. If you hold it for a minute, that's no problem. If you hold it for an hour, you'll have an ache in your arm. If you hold it for a day, you'll have to call an ambulance. In each case, it's the same weight. The longer you hold it, the heavier it becomes. And that's stress management. If we carry our burdens all the time, sooner or later, they'll become so heavy, we won't be able to carry them. Put it down for a while. Rest before picking it up again, and the weight will be lighter. That's stress management. From the very beginning of creation, God designed us to need rest every 7 days. Hebrews 4 starts with this. God's rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it's ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. He was referencing Genesis chapter 2. On the seventh day, God finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Read an article in Time magazine that said this, frazzled families need to put down some speed bumps in their fast-paced lives. There's statistical evidence of rising incidences of burnout, depression, and divorce caused by overwork. 80% of men, 62% of women put in more than 40 hours a week on the job. 60% of Americans feel pressure to work too much. More than 80% wish for family time, and 52% would take less money to get it. Americans are at a breaking point, according to Time. What the country needs is a day off. Adult notions of hyper-competition, overscheduling have created a culture of parenting that's more akin to product development. It's robbing families of time together. Frantic families equal fragile families, the article ends. An author named Letty Komen wrote in her book, Springs in the Valley, this story. In deep jungles of Africa, a traveler was making a long trek. Natives had been engaged from a tribe to carry the loads. The first day they marched rapidly and went far. The traveler had high hopes of a speedy journey. The second morning, these jungle tribesmen refused to move. For some strange reason, they just sat and rested. On inquiry as to the reason for this strange behavior, the traveler was informed that they had gone too fast the first day, that they were now waiting for their souls to catch up to their bodies. Isn't that profound? We need to slow down, let our soul catch up to our body. And God designed us to do that one day a week. Gordon MacDonald, in his book, Restoring Your Spiritual Passion, wrote this very sadistic, very wonderful story. One of the great composers had a rebellious son. He'd come home late at night after his father and mother had gone to bed. Before he went to his own room, the angry teen would go to his father's piano, slowly as well as loudly, play a simple scale. He'd always leave out the final note. Then, leaving the scale unfinished, he'd retire to his bedroom. His father always awoke when the son began playing, and he would writhe on his bed in frustration, unable to go back to sleep or relax until the scale was resolved. Finally, the composer would rumble down the stairs and hit the final note on the scale. Then and only then could he go back to sleep. Isn't that amazing? The application that MacDonald gave was, God has designed the week of man to be concluded with a time of reflection. Our lives are like that scale, and it's not complete until we hit the final note. God rested on Saturday. He designed a day off for us to take care of our physical, our emotional, relational, recreational, and especially our spiritual needs. Fast forward to the present. God wants us to rest with him one out of every 7 days. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we have also had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. Those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. And you notice the shift from the past to the present. Let us be careful. We've had good news proclaimed to us. And this good news is the same word we get gospel from in the Bible. The gospel, we equate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews used it and applied it to describe the two spies who returned to Kadesh Barnea, you know, that city of decision that shows up in the Bible over and over. And they had good news on what was ahead. There were giant problems ahead, yes, but God is bigger than those problems. And the good news, Numbers 14, verse 7, they said to the whole community of Israel, the land we explored is very good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He'll bring us into this land and give it to us. The land is flowing with milk and honey. They said, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God is going before you. He'll fight for you as He did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you didn't trust the Lord your God. Trust and obey. Somebody should write a song. Only people who have faith will enter the place of rest, the Bible says. God doesn't allow the faithless to enter his rest. And faith is more than just words. If you ask any church, how many of you have faith? It would be a unanimous yes. But it's worthless if we don't act upon it. Words are cheap. James 2:14, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Actions. We can take to promote rest. We can rest from listening to doom and gloom news, unhealthy music, watching stressful bad movies, and even take a pause from internet browsing. We can focus on God one day a week, read our Bible, and attend church. And that's a good time to take a spiritual inventory of where we are in our journey. The wilderness was behind them. Giants and heavily armed cities were in front of them, which was a lose-lose proposition if God were not in it. And we all come to those times where we think no matter where we turn, there's no way out of our predicament. But God doesn't save us and then abandon us. You remember the Jeremiah 29 passage, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You'll call on me, come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He knows that if we're going to survive the rigors and challenges of this life journey, we need to rest and regroup with God.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
The Hebrews writer says his works have been finished since the creation of the world. Somewhere he's spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. God again set a certain day and called it today. He did when a long time ago later, he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted today. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Rest, 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 rest. God created Sabbath for his people, and then he calls it today. And he called it today several times throughout the scriptures because it applies to every generation, whatever today is. The fourth of the Ten Commandments says, remember that the Sabbath day belongs to me. You have 6 days when you can do your work. The seventh day of each week belongs to me, your God. Every week we have a Sabbath, a Saturday service. It's at 4 p.m. on Saturdays. It's a country gospel service. We have, this is the second of four weekend services here. You can attend 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock on Sunday. And all of these are opportunities to keep working with fear and trembling and complete our salvation. Because God's always at work in us to make us willing to and able to obey his own purpose. Hebrews 4 is yet another story from the Old Testament. It's from Psalm 95. And that psalm starts with worship and ends with warning. It starts with, come to worship him with thankful hearts and songs of praise. The next verses, we came up with a song for church. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture. I'm a sheep of his hand. And that is followed with a warning about not entering God's rest. It says, listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did. They refuse to do what I tell them, so in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Israel leaving Egypt applies to those of us who have left sin. We're headed for the place that God has prepared for us. And the writer of Hebrews applies the Exodus to first century Christians. And you know the story, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. 40 is mentioned 146 times in the Bible. And the number often symbolizes a time of testing and trial. We're living in those testing times today. And the wise will learn from other people's mistakes so we don't have to repeat them. We'll learn from Israel's bad decisions and avoid ending up as they did. God struck Egypt with 10 plagues and warned, "Let my people go." Pharaoh was just like Satan. He continually refused to cooperate with God. And here's what God offers us. He says, when I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. That's why we gather for worship. The final condition for leaving Egypt was salvation through the blood of the Lamb. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 12, long chapter. Let me just give you the highlights of Exodus 12. It says in verse 3 that Moses and Aaron told Israel to choose a male lamb with no defects to be sacrificed. Verse 6, the lamb must be slaughtered. Verse 7, the blood must be over the door of the house. And the future remembrance of Passover were qualified with two words, no work. That's verse 16. No work of any kind may be done on these days except in preparation of food. Verse 19. These regulations apply to both foreigners living among you and native-born Israelites, Jews and Gentiles. Verse 23. When he sees the blood on top and sides of the doorframe, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house or strike you down. And we know in verse 28, many people obeyed and some disobeyed. And God rewarded the obedient. Verse 31, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night, get out. He ordered, leave my people, take the rest of the Israelites with you, go worship the Lord. And it says in verse 51, on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt like an army. The obedient were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Still are. You remember John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and we are still redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, like the song. Works for me. In the future, God will give the faithful eternal rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, the word enter is mentioned 7 times in 13 verses. Like it begins by saying, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. We shouldn't collapse in the wilderness. We need rest from time to time to regroup with God, and the Jordan River lays before us, and we will cross that river someday. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing to and able to obey his purpose. to complete that journey, we're going to need every bit of help we can get. God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Fear, is it good or is it bad? Later in the book of Hebrews, the writer will say, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Holy fear will show respect and reverence for God. In fact, there are two different kinds of fear mentioned in Hebrews. Phobos is terror and fright. And Ulabis is caution and holiness. When Israel saw God's wonders in Egypt, they had a holy fear of God. But when they got to the border, right near the end of their journey, they feared to trust God. Their fear of death outweighed their fear of God. And as Christians, so many start out right with God, but over time lose their trust in his promises and provision. We might look at the sun or the wind and the waves and be distracted and take our eyes off of Jesus. The Bible says that some fear is appropriate. The Bible says to fear and not to fear. It's contradicting itself, people say. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We should fear. Psalm 128, David said, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. Job said, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To stay away from evil is understanding. But the Bible also says, don't fear. In fact, there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. There's one for every day of the year. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. He said to Christians in Rome, Paul did, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. So to fear or not to fear, that's the question. Sometimes it's appropriate. In fact, if we know God, there is no fear. But if we have no God, we will know fear. Israel refused to obey Moses, so God gave them another man. That was Joshua. Hebrews 4, verse 8. If Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. Years passed. David was a great leader after Joshua, but he sinned and Israel had no rest. Solomon would have been on a Fortune 500 magazine cover, but he messed up. Every leader sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Thousands of years would pass and millions of people would come and go, and no one could provide the rest that God offered. Who would be able to say, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. His Hebrew name was Joshua. The Greek exact name is Jesus. And salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And that's why Peter said, all of you must turn to God, change the way you think and act. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. And that's the rest of the story. Let us do our best to enter that rest. If we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. Do your best. Greek word spoudazo. Quickly forget that one. Spoudazo. Hurry up. Be diligent. Be eager, zealous, exert yourself, and make every effort. And obedience is essential. Israel didn't learn that. Israel paid the price. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, they'll obey me. My Father will love them. We will come to them and live with them. James 1:22, obey God's message. Don't fool yourselves just by listening. Acts 5, the Holy Spirit is given by God to those who obey him. And finally, if we obey God, we will live forever. We only get what God offers if we do what he says. We need to hurry up and obey God today. It applies to us today.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.